Hello and welcome to my podcast, Jumpstart into Evangelism. My name is Siegfried Tomaszewski and I'm an evangelist. Having been the European Director of Christ for All Nations, Evangelist Reinhard Kubonke's ministry for 20 years, I've been involved in all types of evangelistic outreaches. I want to share from my 45 years of experience to help you to develop your calling. In the following short podcast series, Jumpstart into Evangelism, I'm going to share step by step how to be an effective soul winner. In today's episode, Need for Seed, I want to share with you about the reason why we are called to be soul winners. Before we jump into today's episode, Need for Seed, I would like to share a scripture with you, which I believe is very important for us, so because it kind of lays a foundation for what I want to share with you. Let us read together from Genesis 47, Genesis 47 verses 16 to 19. There it says, "Then Joseph said, 'Give your livestock and I will give you bread for your livestock, if the money is gone.' So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for the horses, the flocks, the cattle of the herds, and for the donkeys. Thus he fed them with bread in exchange for all their livestock that year. When that year had ended, they came to him the next year and said to him, 'We will not hide from my lord that our money is gone. My lord also has our herds of livestock. There is nothing left in the sight of my lord but our bodies and our lands. Why should we die before your eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants of Pharaoh. Give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land may not be desolate.'" Now, I believe we all know that story. The land was starving, people were dying, they were all hungry. But Joseph, because of his divine wisdom, had prepared for that time. Now, the people in Egypt, they came to Joseph and asked him and begged for food. And what's interesting, when everything had gone, they came with one request: "Give us seed so that we may live and not die." If I look into today's world, I see a world that is starving. I see people who are hungry. They are desperate for spiritual food. There is kind of a spiritual vacuum inside the people. That's why they are running around and trying everything and anything to satisfy their souls. Now, Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life." And today, people don't know about Jesus. So when they said, "Give us seed," and Joseph gave them seed, he made it available to them. Now, you and I believe we are such a seed that Jesus wants to make available to the people. Let me explain it with a little story of my own life. I was a young teenager, maybe 14 years old, and I was riding the bicycle, and most of my friends had a motorcycle, a motorbike. So I went to my mother and said, "Mom, I also want a motorcycle." She said, "Under no circumstances." I said, "Why not?" She said, "It's far too dangerous. You're going to kill yourself." So I went back. But again, the desire was so strong when I saw my friends driving the motorcycle and I was just going with a bicycle. So I went to her again. I said, "Mom, all my friends have a motorcycle. I also want a motorcycle." And again, to the point where she said, "Okay, under one condition. If you get your own money, you can buy your own motorcycle." Well, you know, we were a poor family. We didn't have any money. I knew my mother didn't have money for the motorcycle. So I had to make my own money. But how would I do that? Well, through the connections of my father, who had been working on in a construction company years before, I went to the boss and I said, can you give me a vacation job? Oh, he agreed. He said, yes, we need a young help here in the summertime. People go on leave and we need somebody. What I didn't know, I mean, I was a young boy, 14 years old, and I had to carry those big chimney stones up 3, 4, 5 stories to the rooftop. I had to carry heavy buckets with sand and cement and water. I mean, I was exhausted. Every night I came home, the muscles were aching, the bones were hurting. So after a few days, I came home and I was just exhausted. I said to my dad, I'm not going tomorrow anymore. Can you call the boss or go to the boss and tell him I'm not coming? I can't do that. So he said, okay, I'll go tomorrow. I mean, in the night, it was like a night vision. I saw my motorcycle flying away as a young boy. In the morning, sure enough, I got up, I got dressed. My dad said, what are you doing? I thought you're not going to work anymore. Yes, but I want to have that motorcycle. Well, doesn't it hurt? Yes, but I want that motorcycle. So long story short, I went again. One day I was working on the roof. I was supposed to clean the rain gutter, all the dirt into a bucket and all the leaves and the debris. And when I had something on my shovel, it looked like a little seed with a tiny sprout. So I took it out and was just about to dump it when a thought struck me. What could that be when it grows? So I took that little seed with the sprout, I took it, I put it in my pocket, and I took it home. I planted it right in front of our patio. I put a stick in the ground so nobody would cut it, and I watered it. I wanted to see what comes out of that little seed. Now, fast forward, 45 years later, I was coming to my hometown to preach in the church. After the meeting was over, a lady came and approached me. I recognized her. I knew her. She was the lady that owned the house we had been living in. And she said, Siegfried, do you remember the little seed that you planted there in front of our patio? Oh, I said, yes, I sure remember it. I wonder what has come from it. And she said, you would be amazed. I mean, it's a tall birch tree, goes 3, 4 stories high over the rooftop. I said, wow. And she said, we are so happy that you planted it. I said, why? Well, number one, the birds have a wonderful nesting place. And number two, in the summertime, we have a wonderful shade on our patio now. So she was over the moon. I was thrilled. I was happy. Now, what does this story tell us? It spoke to me. It really preached to me. I was about to throw that little seed away because I didn't see the value in that little seed. I want to tell you that people look down on you, but Jesus never looks down on you. You may remember the story of Zacchaeus and Jesus. And Zacchaeus, the tax collector, he was up on that mulberry tree. And, you know, the people, they didn't want him near to them. They were kind of looking down on him. Oh, he's a thief, he's a robber, he's a tax collector. So all the people were kind of looking down on him. But when he was sitting up in the tree, Jesus never looks down on people, but he looked up to him. And he says, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to look into your eyes. I want you to see something you have never seen before. What did he see in the eyes of Jesus? There was no condemnation. There was nothing but love. And let me tell you, my friend, Jesus sees you. Jesus sees the value that is in your life. That's why when the devil wants to throw you away, he wants to dump you, he wants to put you in the trash bin, Jesus picks you up and he plants you and he wants you to grow. He wants you to expand. He wants you to multiply. So never despise the small beginnings. No matter how small you think about yourself, think about what Jesus can make from you and with you. He wants to use you. I tell you, he looks out for you. He wants to use you like anybody else. I mean, just remember Evangelist Reinhard Bonnke. When he was a little boy, he got saved. He gave his life to Jesus. He went to Africa as a missionary. And he was absolutely not successful. People look down, oh, you're just a missionary. You have no success whatsoever. But when God spoke to him about a blood-washed Africa, his own friends and colleagues said, are you crazy? You're speaking about Africa? Why don't you focus on Lesotho, this little tiny country? But he realized there is something that God wants from him. And I pray that you understand that there is something Jesus wants from you. There is value in every seed and there is value in you. Jesus needs you and this world needs you. Never forget the need of the seed. But let me read another scripture here, which I believe is very vital for us to understand today. I want to read with you from 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. There it says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Now it comes, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The word of God lives in you. And the word of God is planted in you so that you yourself can become such a seed that it is given to this world, that you can be shared as food, as nutrition to this world. I want to encourage you. Think about that. What if just one little seed is planted into the ground? You don't know what could come out of it. We all know the story of the apple. You know, if we put an apple seed, just a little seed into the ground, it's not that there comes out one apple with many seeds, but there grows a whole apple tree with many apples with multi-millions of seeds that grow again and multiply. So I want to encourage you today. Why don't you make yourself available as a seed? Now, the big question is, how can we be used as such seeds? You know, when I speak about jumpstart into evangelism, I remember one of my first cars. When I came back from Canada and I came to Germany, I bought an old car. It was wonderful as long as it was running. But then one day I was driving up north to visit some relatives and it didn't start anymore in the morning. So I was away a couple of hundred miles from home and I wanted to travel throughout the whole of North and East Germany down back to South Germany with that car. So every time I stopped for the night, I had to pull backwards on a little slope so that in the morning I could run down with the car and start again. Well, not everywhere in North Germany you'll find a slope because that land is flat as can be. So a couple of times I was standing there and looking and I didn't know what to do. Somebody else came and they opened the hood of their car. They had two cables and they said, do you need a boost? Oh yes, I understood. They gave me a jump start. They put their cable to their battery. They could put the other sides of the cable to my battery. And I started and it started immediately. The battery was jump starting. It just needed a little spark to start again that car. And I want to give you some clues, some hints, a little bit of that spark. Well, to be honest, I cannot give you that spark. But I believe somebody else is able to give you that spark. All I want to share is the Word of God, and I pray for the Holy Spirit to ignite that Word in your heart and in your soul, that you get ignited with the fire of God, that out of that little seed comes a multi-fruit. Now, when I speak about evangelism, you know, many people immediately say, oh, okay, I'm not an evangelist. Well, they immediately see evangelists like Billy Graham and Joyce Meyer or Reinhard Bonnke and many other great women and men of God. But let me tell you, evangelism is something else. Evangelism, I believe, is a second step. First, let's start talking about soul winning, because we are all called to be soul winners. We are called to win souls for Jesus. Now, how does that work? You know, I remember a little story in the Bible, and I believe you are very familiar with it. When the blind man was healed by Jesus, there was the Pharisees and the scribes, and they wanted to find a mistake in Jesus. They want to prove that he's a sinner. So they were observing, they were monitoring Jesus every step he made. And when they saw that Jesus healed the blind man, they went to the blind, ex-blind man, healed blind man, and they asked him, now tell us, is Jesus a sinner, yes or no? Well, what a question. This poor man hardly knew Jesus. I mean, he didn't know much about Jesus. All he knew was one thing, and this is what he told them. Whether Jesus is a sinner or not, I don't know. But what I know is, I once was blind, and now I'm healed. I was a sinner, but now I'm delivered. I was a broken man, now I'm healed. My marriage was broken, now my marriage is healed. I was deep in alcohol, I was deep in drugs, now I've been set free. We don't need to know much about politics and society and everything in this world, but you have something to give to this world, what Jesus has done to you. All this man did was sharing his own testimony, his own experience with Jesus. I believe Jesus has done wonderful things in your life. Why don't you just share what he has done with you? And this is authentic. Now, I realized many times when I travel, you know, we love to talk about Gideon. We love to talk about David, how he killed Goliath. We talk about Moses and Joshua. I tell you something, the people today are not interested in those stories because they don't know them. Now, if you talk about Peter and Paul and the miracles they have done, it's wonderful for us. But the people, they don't know Peter and Paul. That's ancient times. They are not interested in it. Now, even if I speak about Jesus, what a wonderful, miracle-working man he was, the Son of God, they hear it, but they cannot relate to it. But suddenly they listen when they hear what I have to tell them, what Jesus did in my own life. Jesus has set me free. Jesus has healed me. Jesus forgave my sin that was like a heavy burden on my life. Now he has set me free. He has delivered me. And he has been using me as a seed since that time. I was lost, and I've been found. If you share your own testimony with this world, with your friends, with your neighbors, with the people who know you, that makes a difference, and they will start listening to what you have to say. So don't think about long sermons that you have to share somewhere. Just share to your neighbor, to your friends, to your relatives, what Jesus has done in your own life. I will tell you, they will listen. They may not accept Jesus right in the first day, but they will listen, and the word of God will fall into their hearts. Now, let me quickly jump to something else, which I believe is also vital. Sometimes when we know we have to be witnesses for Jesus, we want to convince the people. We try to convince them about their sin and about their condemnation. And this is not our job. Jesus never said, go and condemn the people. Jesus said, go and share. Go and love the people. And it's the job of the Holy Spirit to convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Our job is just to share the gospel. And the Holy Spirit will come in and convict the people of their sin. And that's where you and I are needed, when the Holy Spirit comes and convicts them, that we are there and show them and lead them the way to the cross, lead them the way to Jesus, who is there to forgive them of their sin, of their guilt. When the lady who was found in adultery was kneeling there with Jesus and nobody around anymore, she was expecting to hear guilty, guilty, guilty. But to her amazement, she was there and what she heard was forgiven, forgiven, forgiven. And I pray that we see the people not as objects of guilt, but of objects of Jesus' forgiveness. Because when Jesus spoke forgiven to that lady, he was actually on the way to the cross. And on the cross he died not only for the people who were present at the cross, he died for everyone, past, present, and future. And this is the message that we have to bring to the world today. There is hope. There is hope in the blood of Jesus. There is forgiveness in the cross and the blood of Jesus. And this is our calling. It's our calling, really, to go and share with the people. We are responsible for the people to hear the wonderful message of the love of God. So why do we wait and not start with one neighbor, with one friend, with one person in the shop, in the supermarket, at the gas station, wherever we are? Just share your testimony and let them know about the love of God. And you will see how that little seed will start growing, expanding, and multiplying. May the Lord bless you richly, and may He use you in a wonderful day. I pray that this episode has blessed you, and I want to encourage you to go to the next episode and listen and watch and share with your friends, where we want to go deeper into the jump start of evangelism. By the way, I have also written a little booklet called Called To. In this little booklet, I'm sharing in 10 short chapters how we find out the calling that is on our life. We all have different callings, and you may say, well, I'm not called to be a missionary, or I'm not called to be whatever. But there you may find help how to find your own calling and then to walk and to grow in your calling. May the Lord richly bless you.